to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning dream packs. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 83, coming at you on February 15th, 2005. I'm your host, Doug, and that's because if any of you tuned in last week, you'll notice that I was a co-host with Snake Dog, and at the end of the show, he asked me to fill in for him for this week and probably next week, too, so... Luckily, I'm not here all alone, though. I have, of course, my co-host.
Lucky 225.
That's right. And we're actually doing the show in the studio instead of on speakerphone.
Yeah. Pretty nice studio here.
Yeah, it's a garage studio. But instead of, you know, having you on the speakerphone, since you live, like, right down the street from me, this makes more sense. So it'll
pretty
sound,
awesome.
Yeah, it'll sound a little bit different. So hopefully this show is informative and not a complete disaster. So
yeah, I'm kind of sick today, by the way. So
that's all right. Just don't cough on the
mic.
You
hear me coughing. And
just don't cough on the mic, and everything will be fine. But we're going to jump right into email. All right, our first email here is from the Obtruse One. He writes, I just thought I'd email you about the guy who lost his job over Hack TV. I don't mean to be a dick or anything, but it's his own damn fault for watching TV at work when he shouldn't. He probably would have gotten fired over something else if it weren't for Hack TV he was caught with. Glad he found another job, though. Just hope he's more responsible next time. Don't blame yourself, Stank. If it weren't for your show and all the others out there, I would be bored off my ass at work. It's hard to find the 35-plus hours of good listening material each week. The show's great. I can't wait to hear more. Oh, and another tip about radio shows for those who have two lines. You could always do what Default Radio did if you want multiple guests. Call into a conference. Plenty of people which have open PBXs by way of Asterisk, including Bella's Mind and Telefreak. But call into a conference along with your guests, then you'll have a separate line to record it all. That way your voice doesn't sound too different from your co-host, which can be annoying sometimes when you have three or more guests and trying to fix all the levels. Just a thought, the Obtruse One. I totally agree with how what he says about it's his own guy's fault. I mean, Stank Dog shouldn't be held responsible for getting other people fired. You know, if they're watching out their own work, you know, that's their problem, not Stank's. Yeah. I mean, it's the same situation for kids at school that get into trouble for listening to music or something. It's not the artist or the band's fault that the kids are failing. You know, it's the student's fault for listening to the music. You know, it has nothing to do with...
Yeah, there's a time and a place. I mean, if this guy doesn't have a computer, he can go to the library and watch this shit.
Yeah, exactly, so... Now, about recording shows, the same system I had with Default Radio and also the Mind War, I would have two phone lines. One at the time was Vonage, a VoIP phone, and the other was a landline. Both the host, Decoder and Lucky, would call into a free conference line, and I would use both my lines connected to the same conference. Connected to my landline was a voice modem on my computer, which had a speakerphone output, and that speakerphone output would then be connected to the line-in jack of my sound card. I would then dial into the conference line, and I would pick up the modem. The easiest way to do this would be with Windows. If you opened a Piper terminal and you typed ATH1, which would pick up the modem, then simply you would get your favorite application for recording. I use CoolEdit because I've grown up with CoolEdit for many years now. But the free one, of course, you could use, we've said this 1,000 times on the show, Audacity, which is freeware. It also, you can use it with Linux, Windows. It's a great open source recorder. But any kind of your favorite recording tool, you can then just record what's coming in onto the phone line. It's the best way to record. Just make sure you have a separate phone line if you're doing a radio show, because otherwise you're going to sound louder. It's going to sound just it's way too louder than everyone else on the phone line. You want everyone, especially if you have more than two people, you want everyone to have the same amount of level. Otherwise, it's just going to sound horrible. And I know a lot of people have tried to do this with recording phone calls, and they've never succeeded, but If you do this way, just like we did with Default Radio and other shows like The Mind War, this is the way to go if you want to do off phone lines. Another way, too, if you have an Astros box, I personally don't know how to do this, but I've heard people talk about this. I've heard Knot Theory, Strom Carlson talk about this. They have applications that you can use where it records everyone into a conference, and it has, like, their own separate channels and everything, and it just records them in MP3s, but... Do you know anything about this at all?
No, I don't know anything about Asterisk.
Yeah, I don't know anything.
I'm a noob.
I don't know anything about Asterisk either, so... but I know you can do... There's some way to record easier with Asterisk, but if you don't have Asterisk, this is the way to do it. Just get a voice modem, hook it up with your computer, call into a conference line, or call your friend, three-way each other, it doesn't matter. But if you want to record, do a radio show through the phone lines, that's the way to go. This next email is from Slicko, or Slick Zero, I'm not really sure. Hey guys, since you were talking about recording setup for radio shows, I figured I'd tell you about BassNet setup. So here's
I'm sorry, I had to cough. Go on.
It's alright. You're sick. It's alright. I figured I'd tell you about BassNet setup. Well, here's another email about recording radio shows, I guess. The room's walls are completely covered with acoustic baffling. B-A-F-F-L-I-N-G?
I don't know what the hell
baffling.
That means.
We have a mic for each person on the show. We've been using one MXL990 large diaphragm mic. Two cheap Natty CM88s, I think, and one SM58. Anyways, he writes, these are patched to a simple 8-channel mixer with 4 preamps sent to a compressor/gate channel and back to return to the mixer on my laptop. I wrote a simple Perl script. Wow. A simple Perl script that uses a play to play a predetermined clip depending on the key I press on the keyboard, which I have patched to the mixer as well. I use a different laptop for the stream, also patched to the mixer. By the way, the voiceover music standard is 10 dB under the voice, though I usually keep the background stream lower, but loud enough to mask my breathing, any breathing sounds, keyboard clicks, etc. The stereo mix I create with an 8-channel mixer, then to M Audio Delta... Oh no, 8-channel mixer, and then goes to my main console, a Mackie 1604 VLZ-Pro, which directly feeds to my 2M Audio Delta 1010s, which finally records using Rezound, I think you meant Rezound, R-E-Z-O-U-N-D. Yes, my studio computer runs Linux. Of course, 1604 and 1010s are only being used for 2 channels for this. In recording, I set the master level to about -6 dB to avoid clipping. Then after recording, I apply a peak limiter, which... the input levels boosted at 6 dB to normalize the volume. I have all this gear and much more not listed from well before recording the show with it. Since I have all this equipment, found other people that wanted to do a show, and because I found I'm a sound Nazi, I decided to use it. This is an extremely elaborate way of doing it, but since I can make it sound like a professional radio production, I'll of course do it. Anyhow, thanks for the shouts, and keep up all the good work. Slicko. I say Slicko. Pronounce Slicko because it's quicker for me to say, as well as because a few people know me by that. But when I came up with the handle, it was meant not to be phonetically. Basically, there is no wrong way to say it. P.S. Omniscan. To clear up some confusion, it's what inside gag between me, Kilrathi, and a few others. Well, first off, I have to say that's a really complex studio. A really cool setup, a lot more than what we have here. Basically, what we have here is equalizers.
I thought the Doug studio was going to be, like, the bomb and everything, no. And this guy emails us.
This guy's got Perl scripts.
Why are we even trying?
This guy's got Perl scripts. This guy's got Linux. He's got the whole works. I got a few mixers, an app, speakers, mics, like cheap $10, $20 mics. Yeah, this guy's got the whole work, so that's really cool. He has a nice setup, and... it's great to know for internet radio, you know, he's got this complex radio station set up, you know, for an internet radio show. I think it's awesome.
Before we go to the next email, have you heard about this Boss Hog show?
No, what is it about?
I actually have no clue. I heard about him on a Covert Call, because Covert Call's having this prank call contest. And, hey, I'm just letting you go, okay? Anyways, one of the submissions was from this Boss Hog show, which is an internet streaming radio show that's been around since like 2003 or so.
All right.
Anyways, it's some radio group out in Austin or something. And the prank call submission that they had made, they actually had done it from their own dial tone. They weren't spoofing caller ID or anything. And they had all the touch tones in it, and they had placed a call to Nikki Hilton's boyfriend's phone number. I don't remember his name. It's in go on Covert Call. I don't know. I don't keep up with People magazine to see who Nikki Young's boyfriend
is. You don't watch Access Hollywood, man? Come on.
But anyways, since those touchtones were, like, just right there in the WAV file, I decided to decode it.
I don't think Snake Dogg would approve of that. We got to keep the show professional. We're not going to give out docs on this show. All right, anyways, let's just go to the next email. This is from... Oh, he has his first name. I don't think on this show you're supposed to drop that, so I'm not going to say anything, just to be good. Hey, I started listening to your radio show recently. I had a question of where I can get the intro that starts off. This goes out to all the hackers and the crackers. Please reply to this email. Thanks. From what I'm told, this is the number one question that BenRev gets. It's actually on the front page of radio.benrev.com. It says so right in the red. It says... What did it say? It says, before you email and ask me again about the opening theme, it's Zerl. So simply go to Zerl's website and you'll find the full song under, it's on his website, it's under music, actually it's right here, under music, singles, and then I think the single is The Class War, and it's right there on the left. It says Hackers and Crackers. That's the actual full theme song that BenRev uses. So download it right there, and hopefully we won't get another email here that asks that same question. Next email, this is from WickedCon2, or WickedCan2. Hi, I've been listening since episode 80. I live in Wales, which is in the UK. I love the idea of BenRev meetings and might start one. Do you know where I can get more information about freezing hard drives, seeing as I would like to put this theory to test? Love the show, and we'll be downloading further shows on the podcast. Keep up the good work. Well, since I'm filling in for Stank Dog, I know nothing about this whatsoever. I only started hearing about this last week, so...
What are they talking about? Freezing hard drives?
Yeah, freezing hard drives. So I asked Black Ratchet about this because I don't know if he knew anything about this at all. So he told me allegedly that the freezing sometimes solidifies the grease and makes the arm stick. And I've also been told that the plate shrinks, so I don't know anything really about freezing hard drives. So maybe
why would anyone want to?
I have no idea. Keep data longer? I don't know what it's for. I have... That's part of technology that I have no idea about.
All right, well, go and freeze your hard drives. Good advice. Melt the platters, too. That'll be fun.
Well, Black Ratchet, he heard about this from mailing lists. And actually, he has tried this numerous times, but he's only had it to work once. So a lot of people do say it's just an old wives' tale, so who knows. As far as any websites, the only thing I can help you is just recommend going to Google, you know, search around, or even bring this up on the forums at forums.benrev.com, maybe start a whole discussion. I mean, that's the only thing I can recommend to you, so sorry I can't help you out that much.
Dude, 1 gig thumb drives are $100 from SanDisk.
There you go, that's a good idea, just get a thumb drive. Yeah. Next email is from System Shocker. Stank, you suck, you were a big dick. I don't mind MV Bind, I think he means I don't mind the fact that you don't mail back to us, but I had to fake suicide for you to get to read my email on the air. Fuck you. You are a big dick. No more Stank Dog. It's time for Stank Dick. P.S. Metallica fucking rules. Suck my big fat lard of mustard, you fat lard of anti-Metallica fuck.
I don't think we can use the word Metallica on this show. That's a copyrighted band material right there.
I think you're allowed to say it. I don't know. I really have no comment on this. I didn't even know Stank hated Metallica, but... whatever, next email. It's lucky, do you like Metallica?
Yeah, sure. All right. Whatever.
This next email is from OOB, or Oob. Hey, your stinkiness plus various hosts. I'm glad to hear you back in action. I thought I would compile a short list of places that I've listened to BenRev on my iPod on a recent holiday I went on. As a preface to this list, as you know, I live in South Africa. It's important. So, number one. I listened to BenRev 60-something in a Amazini Toy, I don't know, I can't...
Amazini who?
Amazini Toy, I don't know, some kind of police station out there. Reasons for being withheld, I'm not going to say the word again because I can't pronounce it, is if you're interested in a small fishing town on the south coast of South Africa.
I'm not, thanks.
Well, I don't know, yeah, I'm not part of Africa, so... after that, I listened to another episode in the highest pub in southern Africa. Well, it claims so. The pub is the question is situated in a very dodgy backpacker stop off on top of the Sani Pass, which is inaccessible except for the hardest off-roads vehicles in Lesotho. I'm, like, correcting the grammar as I'm reading along here, so it's hard. Number three, I then proceeded to listen to another episode in a cave housing 10,000 years old Bushman paintings, which were nestled in between South Africa's longest mountain range and Drakensberg. Number four, finally to the end of the nice, rounded, odd collection of places to listen to BinRev, I listened to Lake Victoria in Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe,
there you go. Zimbabwe. Don't know if you know about that country's problems, but major human abuses. All right. Not far from the place where David Livingston was greeted by a fellow adventurer. Livingston, I presume. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought I'd let you know that BinRev has traveled me all throughout Southern Africa very well. Well, it's nice to know that people travel with all their internet radio content everywhere. South Africa, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the one thing about this podcast stuff that I think is the coolest thing ever. You can find all this internet media, radio content, you know, and download it on your iPod, take it to you with your beach, you know, in your car, South Africa, whatever, you know, it's all good to go. So you can spread it in so many different ways now with this. That's cool about the podcast. And we have one more email. Doug and Lucky 225, I just wanted to let you know.
This is to us?
Yeah, this is actually to us. I don't know how they knew you were going to be on right away, but I just wanted to let you know that I've listened to BinRev Radio every week. I have every episode saved on my hard drive, my iPod, on my laptop, and burned a CD. The show sucks. I hate you and everything in it that you guys do. I can't wait until next week's show so I can tell you how much you suck again. Your biggest fan, Stink Dog.
Oh.
I don't know who that guy is, but
yeah, screw that Stink Dog, dude.
But enough of this email. Does he have any email closing music? No, he doesn't. That's it. All right, that's all the email we got. Let's get into the show. First off, you see the screensavers last night?
Yeah, sure did.
It's pretty cool seeing Sub-Zero and what was her name? I don't remember her name. I can't think of it right now.
Noob.
What? Do you remember it? If not,
yeah, I do, but I don't. Wait, yeah, I do. It's Holly.
Holly. Oh, yeah, it was Holly. Okay, yeah. Because DJ Mullis couldn't make it, which that sucks, dude. You know, it sucks to pass up something like that and not be able to fly out to L.A. and everything, you know? But, yeah, we saw it last night, last evening, and it was pretty cool to see them on there. I thought they were going to be on there a lot longer, like, actually taking calls, but they were like, we'll take your calls, and they only had, like, one call. And it was
About a
long-distance relationship, and it was at the end of the show. Unless Sub-Zero took, like, calls behind the camera or something, and that's kind of cool, but, you know, I was thinking they were going to be on most of the show, you know, between segments and answering more calls, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be some Valentine's Day special.
Instead, you got Kevin Rose showing you dark deals. I don't know.
Yeah, man, and shoving his face with, like, jelly.
But anyways, yeah, I thought they were going to be on a lot longer, you know, but it was still cool to see them. I'm sure Sub-Zero had a kick-ass time, you know, but I kind of got, like, during the middle of the show when they weren't on, I was just bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I don't know, dude, and what is this? Watch Kevin Rose make out with Sarah Lane? I mean,
what do you mean,
dude?
What?
The show sucks now. Like,
well, yeah, I used to grow up, man. Like that network I used to watch since like '98, man. And every time I'd always turn on the screensavers, you know, and just like enjoy watching. What was it, Leo Laporte? The other guy, Patrick Norton.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Back then when Kevin Rose was just the guy, like, behind, you know, he was nobody. You know, he never, like, made himself known. And now he's still a nobody, but he's trying to be something, you know? And
yeah,
I can't believe it. And now they changed their name back to just G4 now, so Tech TV's totally gone. Just, I think the whole network's gone to shit, so. But enough about the screensavers. We don't need to give them much.
Enough about Kevin Rose already and his girlfriend.
Other than that, I saw the screensavers last night. I also had to get a cleaning tape for my DV camera because I was going to finally start working and uploading the DEF CON footage that we took from July. And right when I put the tape in, all my tapes, when I was playing them on my camera, they came out horribly. Like it was jittery everywhere. There was pixelating everywhere. So I got a cleaner. I thought maybe the heads were dirty. I didn't use the camera in a while. I bought a cleaner, $20 for one tape cleaner, and it didn't do the job. So now I have to take it back to Best Buy, which I got this camera, I think, in May.
And oh, God, here we go again.
With another Best Buy store. Me and Stank Dog both can't stand Best Buy, and I regret buying this camera at Best Buy. Nothing but problems with it. But
I could tell you about Best Buy. But then again, free car stereos out of them is pretty cool.
All
right. We won't talk about that.
All right. But anyways, yeah, but other than that, never had problems. Just nothing but problems with the folks at Best Buy. So other than that, with the cameras and stuff, I've been working on the Doug Show website. New website's up.
Now we just need the actual show, Doug.
Well, I'm taking a trip to Norfolk, Virginia, but I'll be back sometime around March. That's probably where we're going to start the actual first official live broadcast. Hopefully that'll go well. And anything new going on with you, Lucky?
No, not really.
Nothing really? You've been working? You got a job?
Yeah, I got a job.
You've been kind of finally busy. Like I said last week, you've been the only DDP member that I know that doesn't really do much. But
hey, I'm working part-time at...
Part-time.
At a pizza place. We won't say which one.
So you're delivering pizzas?
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, let's get into the actual show topic. We were going to talk about this last week, but...
We were?
Well, we were, but you were busy, and we couldn't get a hold of you, so Stang wanted to do a show with me, and that's when he had me fill in for him, and hopefully I'm doing a good job. I have no idea.
Probably not.
Probably not, yeah. But... you were at ShmooCon not last weekend, but the weekend before.
That's right.
That was in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes, that's the District of Columbia. A lot of people don't know that's not a state.
Well, thank you.
just letting our audience, you know, understand that that's a district.
All right, but... So, how was it?
Oh, it was pretty good.
A lot of speeches. Was it more of a party con? Was it more of, you know, did they have a lot of conferences? What did they do?
It was more of just a regular con. I mean, they had a lot of good speeches. There definitely was a lot of drinking going on, but
right. That
was a little more behind the scenes. It wasn't actually...
advertised.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like people that were going... Like, the con was downstairs in the hotel, first of all.
Okay.
And there was three rooms, three speaking tracks, and, you know, no one was sitting there drinking during the speeches, because they were all really good speeches. They were all really good computer security-related speeches.
And, yeah.
You know, there was a lot of good information that was given out. I gave a speech there with Lance James, and I think that went over pretty well. A lot of people showed up to that. I saw a lot of good reviews online. Other than that, I mean, I went to a couple speeches. It was pretty good. I went to Fur Nightclub on their speaker party.
Yeah.
That was all right, but kind of a more upscale club. They were kind of Nazis about the dress code and stuff. Even though I'm a speaker, they're like, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like your shoes. And it's
what?
Like, yeah, I don't like your face, but, you know, I'm just here for the open I'm just here for the open bar, you know,
yeah.
Which closed early.
Oh, great.
We had a $3,000 limit. Okay, well, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, I didn't go to ShmooCon. I don't know. Maybe if I had the money, I probably would have gone, because I've been to Washington, D.C. quite a few times, and, you know, I've always had a good time at Washington, D.C. by itself, but the ShmooCon, I heard that everyone had a good time, you know, and... You know,
I've never been to Washington, D.C., so, I mean, it was quite a good experience for myself. I mean, I got to go see all the monuments and,
yeah. You
know, I got to see the White House and stuff for the first time. That was pretty cool. And, I mean, the conference in general was just very cool. It's definitely worth the $200 for late registration if you had to pay that.
Really? $200?
Yeah. Well, that was for late registration.
Wow.
I think it's $99 for regular.
That's more than DEF CON.
But, of course, I got in for free, so what the hell do I care? But it really wasn't free.
Well, you got in for free. Was it for speaking?
I got in free for speaking. They even paid me $100, but somehow...
What? For speaking?
Yes. They gave me an honorarium, but...
DEF CON never paid you for speaking.
Actually, yes, they did.
Oh, they did.
At the last one, they started paying their speakers.
Oh, okay.
But besides that... it really wasn't free, per se, because I got a $450 credit card bill right now that I still need to pay off. And
yep.
I got a cell phone bill that's sitting at home that still isn't paid. So
that's not good.
And, of course, I got this part-time job, so
yeah, that's
still trying
not
to
good.
Find a way to pay my bills.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, I've only been to DEF CON. Out of all these cons, I've only been to DEF CON. My first time was last year, of course, July. And I had a terrific time, and I'm looking forward for the next DEF CON. The problem is, I've never, like, Hope, I was thinking about going to Hope, but then again, my mom wouldn't let me because it was in New York. She's like, maybe next year, you know. But the thing with all the cons, like, with DEF CON, you have Las Vegas. So if you get tired of the con, you got Vegas. With Hope, you have New York, which is also a great city. And even with ShmooCon, you got Washington, D.C. There's a lot of places to check out. With Freaknik, it really just didn't interest me all that much because it's in Tennessee, and I really don't see any... think interesting in Tennessee. No offense to anyone that lives out there, but you got the cities with all these other cons. with Tennessee, it's Tennessee. I mean, how was Freaknik? I mean, you guys have talked about Freaknik before, but...
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on Freaknik anymore.
Was it really that bad?
Like I said, I'm not going to comment on Freaknik anymore. I've made my comments in previous shows.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't want to bring up past shows again, but out of all the cons, DEF CON, and even when you went to H2K what, 2 years ago, and... H2K2 and Freaknik and everything, was ShmooCon the best?
Yeah, I'd have to say ShmooCon was pretty much the best. DEF CON is obviously, it's a pretty big con, it gets a lot of attraction, but most of it is just drunken idiots, I'm sorry to say it, but that's pretty much what it is. I mean, you're in Vegas.
Which is fun and all, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun con to attend. They do have some good talks there also. But most people are way too drunk and forget to go see the good talks, so...
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, and I mean, it's... DEF CON is more for the capture the flag type people. I mean, that's pretty much what it's for there.
But did you learn anything really new? Any kind of exciting speeches or anything at ShmooCon?
Yeah, I did,
What was your speech about?
Oh, well, our speech was about voice over IP and...
Figures, but...
yeah, of course, right?
What else? Either call ID or VoIP?
Yeah, I had to do...
The same speech at DEF CON?
It was... It was more... Lance James talked a lot about SIP, and it was very informative about that. I know Nat has said he learned a few things about SIP that he didn't know before that. And, of course, I gave pretty much the same speech that I gave at DEF CON before, basically because every time I give a speech, I usually do it with another speaker, and what usually happens is I speak second, and my time always gets cut short.
Yep.
And I don't feel that I got to really get the information out there that I wanted to at DEF CON, and I felt like this was like a second chance, like, and I gave more of the information that was supposed to be given out at DEF CON, and an explanation of why it works and how it works, and why people should be concerned about it.
Yeah, I noticed that at DEF CON, too. There was a lot that you guys couldn't cover, you and Strom. There was a lot more that you needed to talk to. You never got to demonstrate the caller ID spoofing, you know. You just talked about, like, the very basics about how phones work, and then right when you started getting to the good stuff, that time's up, you know. And I thought that kind of was bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, I actually want to talk to you about caller ID spoofing, but... Before we get into that debate, is there anything else at ShmooCon besides it being number one and all the great and everything?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about one of the speeches that I thought was pretty cool. Well, first of all, I saw Jason Scott there.
Oh, really?
I got to mention that to you.
I saw Jason Scott at DEF CON, but I didn't go up to say hi because I don't even think the guy knows me or anything. But
No, actually, he did mention a couple things about Default Radio.
Oh, really?
And BinRev and RFA. And
cool.
How he thinks it's cool that... We sort of started this whole little internet radio, like, feed, and now there's all this podcasting and everything else.
Yeah, I was talking to Stink with that last night, but before we started doing the show about podcasts, and we even brought this up on the show, people are acting like this is new.
Yeah.
With this podcasting, they're like, oh, this is the newest, best thing ever, internet radio. Whoa, who thought to put talk on internet radio? And people have been doing this for years, and we talked about RFA. It started in, 2001, 2002?
Yeah.
I think 2002, 2 years, yeah. Yeah, this has been around for a long time. Rant Radio's been doing this since 98, This is not new, so...
The Boss Hog show that I talked about a little bit before the show with
you. Right, right. And they're like
the BossHogShow.com.
Aren't they like a default radio, you said?
Right? No, they're just a streaming internet radio show. They're based out of Austin. It's not really technical. It's more of a little talk show.
Really? Kind of like our show is going
to
be...
I don't know. I haven't really listened to it.
Well, we'll listen to it, and then we'll steal their ideas and then see how it works. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
But what else? So you're talking about speech.
Oh, yeah. There was one speech that was pretty cool. On cable internet, or not cable internet, cable TV hacking out of the hotel rooms, basically.
The hotel rooms?
Yeah, basically, the pay services... There's basically like a computer inside the TV, and he was showing you that on most of the hotel systems, it's real simple. You can just bring your own TV in, unplug the cable, and plug it straight into your TV, and you get the live feed of everything. You can watch all the pay channels for free. And
really?
All kinds of
stuff. So it's the actual television that's locked.
Yeah.
anyone could, because they have, you can get a portable TV.
Yeah, there's like a computer inside there that tells what room number it is and what room number to bill and everything. And I guess in theory you could actually bill like pay-per-views to other rooms.
What?
Yeah, and all kinds of other things. And this guy was also talking about the TVs themselves. If you take a PDA and you put the infrared mode on and you set it to the same TV and you change a few hex digits on like the power button or something like that.
Yeah.
You can if you change a few digits, you can find secret codes that the maids use and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, like when the maid comes in your room, she has like a remote that she can press, like saying that the room is done, and then so she doesn't have to actually write it down or anything like that. You know, and same with like checking out of your room and stuff like that. And in theory, you can actually go through these programming menus and check other people out of their room and all kinds of other weird stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool talk, and I don't know, you'd have to Google it. I forgot who did the speech, but
Right.
It was a really awesome talk. I think the same guy talked about He was talking about infrared and wireless stuff and things of that nature. And he started talking about how his wife had actually got locked out of her car. Somehow the remote wasn't syncing with her car for the car alarm. And she called up the manufacturer. And the manufacturer said, "Yeah, you have to put in this reset code, you know, like unlock, lock, panic, yeah, unlock, something like that. Some simple reset code that you could get from the manufacturer." Huh. Anyways, she had wrote down the code and gave it to him. And the next time, this guy went out with his friend who had a similar car, I guess the same make or whatever. And he noticed that the key fob was the same. It was the same one that his wife had for her car. And he said, "You know what? Can I see that? I want to see something real quick." So they went into a parking garage and they parked, and he punches in the reset code, and sure enough, it unlocked his friend's car.
Right.
Along with, like, half of the other cars in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
He just heard all the locks unlock, you know?
Oh, my God, that's funny.
I mean, talk about being on default.
Yeah, the cars are on default, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, and have you heard about those RFID, that the RFID tags were recently hacked? This was on Security Focus a couple weeks ago.
What's that all about?
I don't know, some group had hacked those RFID tags that they use at, like, mobile for getting gas.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that, and people also use them in their cars to unlock their cars and stuff like that. Anyways, they had cracked the encryption on it, and they can actually, like, clone people's, like, mobile, key fobs.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was like, wow, and plus they use the same technology to unlock cars. I'm like, wow, you can use an RFID to steal a car and then steal the gas for it, too.
Oh, man. That's pretty bad, Lucky.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, you know, like, that's pretty sad.
That's pretty bad. But anyways.
And there was another speech. I think it was on Sunday morning in the Birds of a Feather track. I can't remember this guy's name. He's pretty cool, though. Google this guy, too. He's really awesome.
That's understandable. There's a lot of people that... That's understandable, though, because there's a lot of people at cons. You can't remember everyone's name, you know, so...
Yeah, but this guy was really cool. He's done quite a couple speeches. He spoke at DEF CON. He's even spoke for the NSA.
Really?
What does
that mean? He spoke for the NSA. What do you...
No, dude.
NSA is cons? When can we go?
I don't know, man. He spoke for the NSA. That's what's said on his website, I'm pretty sure.
NSA con? Anyways, besides speaking at the NSA con and all this, what was the speech about?
This particular speech was about, I can't remember the title, but it was about perception.
Uh-huh.
Not really anything too technical, but more or less how people perceive things and things of that nature. For instance, I mean, you go war driving, you see a bunch of Linksys APs that are all on default,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, everywhere.
You know, and especially at businesses and stuff. And whoever sold this there might be a, quote, system administrator, but he doesn't know his head from his ass. If he's leaving Wi-Fi wide open.
Good way of putting it, but yeah.
He's leaving Wi-Fi wide open with the default SSID of Linksys, you know. And basically, the whole point is, this guy thinks he's secure. Otherwise, he wouldn't have it set up like this.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a product that he thought, you know, oh, it's only going to work inside my office. The radio waves can't go outside the office. You
know? All right.
Well, the point is, now I remember the name of the speech. It was like Zen and Perception or When is a Network Not a Network?
Okay.
And basically what it's saying is this guy seeing one network, his, which he thinks is secure.
Right.
And anyone who's war driving is seeing another network, a wide open one that's not secure or anything else.
Yeah.
And basically it was all about perception and how people think and how we get to certain places. And I don't know, dude, it was just like, it was a really fulfilling speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really, I emailed this guy too, you know, it went a lot with some of the quotes that I have on my BinRef SIG, for instance. You know, he was talking about, like, stuff like, if the government bans free speech, people are still going to speak, you know?
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, like, one of my SIGs is, if freedom is to be outlawed, only outlaws will have freedom.
All right.
You know, and that's pretty much how it is everything is all about perception. People can say, you know, you can make laws and stuff to try and ban people from doing things, but people are still going to be able to do those things. Just because it's written that you can't doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah.
You know? And he was talking about how when people, like, learn things, like, when you get a new employee, you got to train them. You train them how to do something step by step. You do it like this.
Right.
And the employee's going to be like, well, you know, they don't understand why they have to do it like this. They just understand that they have to do it like this. They're trained to do it like that. Well, eventually, when you start working there, you're going to start noticing shortcuts, and you're going to break the rules a little bit, you know? You're going to do things more faster and efficiently. But then there's other people who can't perceive like that, and they'll just continue to, you know, do things step by step by step, because that's how they were taught to do it, and they mm-hmm. don't ask any questions.
Exactly.
And I don't know. It was just a really good talk. Yeah, I mean, you had to be there.
Which, of course, I wasn't.
Yeah, of course. I really hope someone got a video of that talk, because
But speaking of video, did they take did ShmooCon do the video themselves when they do video of the speeches?
I don't think there was any video of the speeches.
Because at, like, DEF CON, they had that whole thing where, you know, you couldn't record inside because that's copyrighted by them, and I really didn't like that. You know, I don't. Did the ShmooCon do the same policy as DEF CON did?
No, not at all. Speeches? There were definitely people with their hand cams recording stuff, but ShmooCon themselves did not record any speeches, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they recorded the audio, I'm not sure, but they definitely weren't doing any video.
Yeah, because that was the one thing with DEF CON. When you do a speech at DEF CON, they own it.
Yeah.
Right, they own the whole speech.
The Sound of Music or something like that owns it. I don't know. Some company like that.
All right, well, that was the thing. You cannot film your own speech. Like, they wouldn't let me film at all. Like, I couldn't tape. I could tape after the speech. That was fine, but I couldn't tape during the speech, you know, which sucks. I can't put that on, you know, Doug TV, of course, unless I want to pay him, I think it was like $80 for a VHS cassette, something like that, I don't know, of your speech that you did. So I thought that was kind of messed up, but at least ShmooCon did that. Yeah, ShmooCon sounds like it was really...
It was really chill and very informative.
Yeah, probably. Is it every year?
I think it's going to be an annual thing, yeah.
All right, yeah, next year then most definitely. I'm still going to DEF CON. By the way, you're going to DEF CON this year?
Yes, I am.
You have money for it? Because I know you just said...
Okay, maybe I'm not.
You just thought of it because you said credit card bill, everything.
That really did disappoint me a little bit is running up my credit card bill because, I don't know, I wanted to go to Layer 1. I know that's not happening. I'd like to go to DEF CON.
Where's Layer 1?
It's in Pasadena, I think, at the Pasadena Hilton.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, right here in California. I wanted to go there, but I don't think I'm going to have the money for it. I want to go to DEF CON. Probably won't have the money for that, but I'll probably end up doing it anyway.
You got to go anyways, man. DEF CON, there's going to be a lot more people there at DEF CON this year. Even Stankdog is going, you know, and much more people at DDP because they all went to Hope, you know, and, of course, it's timed at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
But, I think DEF CON this year is going to be a lot better than it was last year, you know. And then there's a lot of people that say, oh, all those people from Hope are coming. I'm not going this year. Then whatever, screw them, you know. But you got to find a way to go.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Because I don't want to fly a plane alone to Vegas, you know. Man, this is disgusting. Have you ever tried this Dr. Pepper? Not just Dr. Pepper, Diet Cherry Vanilla Dr. Pepper.
Diet Cherry Vanilla what?
It's Dr. Pepper with cherry, which I think is bad by itself, with also vanilla, which is even worse, and it's a diet.
Okay.
I don't know who came up with that idea, but anyways.
Idiots.
Yeah.
Morons.
Back to your speech about caller ID spoofing. I want to bring this up on this show right here.
Oh, you sure this shouldn't be like a Kevin's dark tip or something like that?
I know you're obsessed with Kevin Rose. Just drop it for a minute, all right? You're just jealous because you don't have Sarah Lane. Just drop it anyway.
Okay.
All right. Let's just screw this. All right. Caller ID spoofing. Now, that's your big thing. You're all into that caller ID spoofing. You're not into people that use caller ID, right?
No.
Okay. Explain to me why you have a problem with people that look at their caller ID, and not only that look at their caller ID, have services such as anonymous call rejection, which rejects people with a private number that call you. What pisses you off so much about this?
Because why can't people just answer their phone? Why do they have to pay all this money for services that are worthless anyways? Anyone can go to covertcall.com and pay 5 cents a minute to show any number they want on your display. And of course, as you know, with Asterisk, you can even spoof the caller ID name now on certain switches.
Right.
So, I mean, I can put whatever the hell I want on your caller ID display. So why don't you just answer your phone no matter where I'm calling from?
All right. I don't want to like make this an argument. I'm just going to give opinion. We'll do a whole politically incorrect style here. The thing with caller ID is, when I'm getting a call at a certain time, I don't feel like talking to a certain person. Not anything mean. It's just that I'm in a certain situation at the time where I just don't feel like talking. And instead of, you know, telling you that, picking up my phone, wasting an airtime minute, I'm going
to
just
turn your cell phone off.
No, because there's certain people I want to talk to. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I do understand. I have no problem with people that spoof. I'm all for caller ID spoofing. I'm not saying, oh, you shouldn't do that. That's, you know, manipulating caller ID. No, I'm all for caller ID spoofing. But the people that I talk to can't caller ID spoof.
Look, Doug, you're 16, okay?
Right.
You're not a doctor. You're not running a business. You're not theory over here. You don't need a cell phone, first of all. You don't need one.
Do you need a cell phone?
No, I don't.
Okay, neither do I. I'm all for that. I don't really care about cell phones. I could live fine without it. I lived months and months without a cell phone.
My point is, when I'm out with someone, such as my girlfriend, or I'm out at work or something like that, I turn my phone off.
Why don't you turn your phone when you're doing BINREV then?
Hey.
But anyways, all right, I understand that, but the problem is I have nothing wrong with caller ID. It's not that I look at caller ID. It's the fact that people that make their caller ID private, why do you have to have a private caller ID? Why can't you just show me your number?
Because. Why do I have to show you my phone number?
Because you have my number. Why can't you have the same respect of showing who you are? Why do you have to hide yourself and make you, oh, I want to have a wild card here. You don't know who's calling you. Why can't you just say, oh, it's me calling you? Because you know that you might get ignored. That's the only people that get pissed off are people that are subject to being ignored.
No, dude, no. Actually, some people have complete caller ID blocking on their line, and they don't feel like dialing *82. They just feel like dialing.
Why do they have complete caller ID blocking?
Because they don't want to call. When they're making a call to a business who has no idea who the hell you are, and you just want to ask the business a question about them or something like that.
Then *67 to them.
They don't need to know your number. No.
Then *67 to them. But when you call friends and family, show your number.
No, there's no reason for your number to be shown on every single
call. There's
no
reason for people to block their number.
First of all, there is a reason why your number shouldn't be shown. Because if I'm calling you and someone stole your cell phone or is in your house and they're looking at the caller ID when the phone starts ringing, I don't want that person to see my phone number and write it down. It'll have my name. Why do they have to know my phone number? I'm calling you, not them. So if someone's in your house or you're out and your girlfriend steals your cell phone or something, I don't want her knowing my number when I'm calling you.
Okay. Now, I will say this with private. When you have a cell phone, all right, I'm not going to say you because you're completely weird, but when I have a cell phone and it's during daytime and it costs money to accept those calls, it's costing
you. Yeah, send them to voicemail. And then you can call your voicemail for free.
But when I'm getting a private call, and I have no idea what it is. It could be some moron doing a prank call. I'm not going to answer that call during the day.
Yeah, so turn your phone off. I already said this.
Because if they're showing me their number, because I'm going to talk to certain people. I'm not going to talk to some random Joe that could be a complete jackass and waste my airtime minutes to talk to this guy. I want to know who's calling me, and then I'll see if it's important enough for me to answer their call.
Look, if they really want to get a hold of you, they can text you and say, look, call me back. And if it's important, you'll call them back.
No, if it's important, look, there's no reason to call ID block at all.
Yes, there
only
is.
No, there is for calling businesses and...
I just told you, I don't want other people that you're around when I call you seeing my phone number.
Right, I understand, because if you hand your phone to your friend and they're calling their friends, you know, all those people are going to get your number. I'm down for that. Yeah, you don't want those people to get your number. But when I get a call at my house, if you're calling me, I want to know who you are. Yes, you can manipulate that, but it's not big enough yet. Once it gets that big enough where everyone and their mother...
It is big enough. Anyone and their mother can go to covertcall.com.
They can, but they're
not... PayPal Joanna $5.
First off, stop advertising these services, because I know you're probably getting money by mentioning them, Kevin. But anyways...
I'm not getting anybody.
All right.
Unless you go to VerizonFierce.com.
No. But anyways... Okay, yes, anyone can spoof now. It has gotten so easy where there are services out there where people can easily spoof. However, not many people are doing that yet. Once it becomes big of a problem, it's a huge risk, they're going to change caller ID and they're going to upgrade it, just like they do with voicemail systems and everything else. Caller ID will be fixed and then people will be using it again. They're not going to get rid of caller ID. They never will.
Yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
They've invented it now. People have relied on caller ID so much, which I don't rely on caller ID. I don't really rely on it like it's the biggest thing. I could live with a phone without caller ID. You know, I've had old phones everywhere where I don't look at caller ID. But when it comes to like a cell phone or something, you know, where you're reaching me wherever you are, you know, that kind of thing, that's a real personal phone. I want to know who's calling me, you know? And it's not going to die because they're just going to keep upgrading it and there are just going to be people making more hacks for it. It would be a lot easier, yes, if they got rid of caller ID, but that would create more chaos because then people would be finding, oh, I want my caller ID. I want to know what my mom's calling me instead of my sister because I don't want to talk to her. That's why we have call blocking and all these other features.
You still don't know who's calling you. Your sister could go over to your mom's house and pick up your mom's phone.
But when these... They're calling from those phones, though.
Yes.
That's completely different. That's caller ID from where they're calling from. They're not manipulating it.
Yeah, but you're still basing it on a phone number, not on who's calling.
All right. The reason why I brought this up on the show is because I want people to email radio@binrev.com what they think about this. Do you use caller ID? Do you not? What do you think people should do with caller ID? What are your views on spoofing caller ID? I want people to bring this up because you and I will never come to agreement because you're anti-caller ID. You're the only one I know that's like, oh, answer your phone no matter who it is.
That's
you don't,
right.
You don't
that's
understand.
Right. If you want to screen your calls, invest in it's a $10 device known as an answer machine. Okay, when someone calls your house, fucking have your
I thought you just said answer the phone no matter who calls you.
Look, if you want to screen your calls, put an answer machine on your phone.
Why don't I just screen with caller ID?
Because you're not going to know who it is with caller ID.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you are. You'll
know what phone number is calling you. That doesn't tell you who is calling you.
That gives me a pretty good idea, though.
No.
Because I know if a number's going to be...
You know what? Assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups.
Yeah, and it's going to be fixed. Just like how everything else that's manipulated gets fixed.
Still a mother of all fuck-ups.
Because you know why it's getting fixed? Because people are using caller ID spoofing for billing reasons, and that's going to be more of a big deal than, you know, oh, I don't know who's calling me. And they're going to fix that. And then caller ID is going to have a whole completely new upgrade. There's going to be caller ID 2.0 or whatever, you know?
No, there's not.
Yes, there is. You just don't want to admit that people use caller ID for a reason. It's a big deal to people.
Look, in order for them to fix this for POTS lines and stuff like that, they're going to have to put a separate data channel in. And they're going to have to give you new equipment. And no one's going to want it. They're going to be like, I've been using this caller ID box for 20 years. I ain't getting a new one.
Well, then they're going to be infected. It's the same thing. People that run Windows 95, oh, they're going to have to upgrade because, oh, I don't know, it's kind of old. You could get a lot of viruses, you know. It's the same thing with caller ID.
I'm just telling you, man.
Look at caller ID when they came up with caller ID call waiting. Everyone switched their boxes to have call waiting caller ID. It's the same thing.
I don't know, dude.
Dude, caller ID, everyone, too many people rely on caller ID because of that reason. It's a screening purpose thing. They want to know who's calling you. They have their phone books and their cell phones. Oh, hey, Jenny, how are you calling? You know, what's up, you know?
Yeah, well, they're morons.
Well, I respect that. Yeah, you know what? You have your own view, and that's cool because you're not, you know, backing down. Well, maybe in this situation because you actually have a strong opinion on this. A lot of people think you're crazy. I have to let you know that, but a lot of things are manipulated. You can manipulate a lot of things in life, but they always end up getting fixed. Caller ID spoofing is not that big of a deal yet.
It won't be fixed.
It will be.
No, it won't.
How do you know that?
It's not going to be fixed.
Why wouldn't it be fixed?
It's not going to be fixed.
A lot of things have been fixed. Have been
it won't be fixed.
Then what are they going to do? Just get rid of Caller ID?
No, but it won't be fixed.
They're going to do something. Caller ID is going to get out of hand. There's a lot of corporate businesses that use Caller ID.
Oh, well, they're noobs.
All right, enough about this Caller ID spoofing crap, because you and I, of course, will never come to agreement. We've argued about this for years.
And we will continue to argue
about
it.
We'll continue to argue because of our different views. I don't think you're wrong.
You want to bitch about cell phone minutes, you know, control who you give your cell phone number to. And if someone gives your cell phone number out, then kill them.
Hey, you know what? I'm a very popular guy. A lot of people, especially the ladies, have my cell phone number. Got to get a hold of them. And they all have anonymous call rejection. There's no way of calling them without unblocking my caller ID.
Well, spoof to them.
No, because then they don't answer. I have to spoof their like other boyfriend's number to them, and then they answer.
Yeah, and then you go like, hey, baby.
Did I ever tell you that story, dude? My friend wanted to know if his girl was cheating on him. He had a suspect of some guy. He's like, what should I do? And I was like, you could spoof the number. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I was like, yeah, you know, I used to spoof with you all the time. I used to, you know, prank your house all the time as a joke, you know. He's like, yeah. He's like, wait a minute, you could do that to her cell phone? I was like, yeah. It doesn't have to be a house phone. So he gives me her number, and he comes over to my house. And this is back when we were using VXML, like, a long time ago.
Huh.
And it's we call her up. And we spoof this supposedly guy. And the first thing she does when she answers the phone, hey, baby, how you doing? I missed you. I had a good time last night. Like, the first thing she just said right in the open. And the first thing he said, you effing bitch, was the first thing he said. But no, I thought it was the funniest thing, because the first thing the girl did, she relied on that caller ID of the guy she was having an affair with. And that's what I don't do. I don't trust what it says. I always say hello. It's the first thing I say. I don't say, hey, Lucky, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trustworthy of Caller ID, but I do use it, you know? I'm not going to trust it. But anyways, anything to comment on that? Because I'm going to wrap it up here. We got to get to the show.
So you trust it enough to answer your phone, but you don't really care.
Well, I kind of, it's like a 50-50. Like, maybe it's possibly that person, but I'm not really sure. But I'm taking a chance.
Well, you know, roulette's a 50-50 chance, too, but you probably lose at it.
Well, it's the same thing with the lottery, man. Nothing's, everything's a chance in life, you know? But what I'm saying, you talked earlier about how things with car alarms and the default of the remotes, the combinations, how it unlocked all those cars. Don't you think that's going to be fixed?
No.
You don't think it's going to be fixed? You think everything is always on default? That's what it all
everything, comes to. Everything is on default.
Everything is always on default. That's true. That's why that show has a meeting. Well, you know what? You're right. Let's see if Caller ID ever gets fixed. You owe me $20. If it never does, well, we'll never find out, and I don't have to owe you shit, so either way, I'm good.
What is that?
So anyways, shouts.
We got to put a time expiration on that bet. Anyway.
All right, I'm saying within the next 5 years.
I got $20 coming to me.
5 years. Within the next 5 years, there's going to be some kind of Caller ID upgrade. Now, I'm not saying that upgrade, it's not going to be vulnerable, because I'm sure someone's going to hack it, but there will be at least an attempt to have a new Caller ID service. All right?
No.
5 years. But anyways, we got to wrap the show up. We got to give shouts. My shouts go to Sub-Zero, of course, because I really wish we could have hung out with him yesterday, but someone had to work, and...
Yeah, that was me.
That was you,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could have hung out with him, too.
Yeah, dude, he had to wait at LAX for, like, 5 hours.
Yeah, and that sucks. That's time he could have been spending with us.
Yeah.
Doing Doug TV.
Yeah, we could have been filming and shit.
I mean, oh, God.
We could have done a lot of crap, but anyway... We could have been filming and crap, but... Yeah, that sucks. Like, he had to wait at the airport that long, you know, and probably didn't get to do much. I think I called him up, and he was at, like, Chili's inside the airport, and they were just...
So wrong.
They were just chilling. I was like, you're at LAX that long? Like, that's insane. But, yeah, hopefully we'll see him at some con or something. So, yeah, because he seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah, definitely. Shouts to DJ Mollusk.
Right. But your shout
and Holly.
Right, Holly. And shouts to Athenex. Friend
yeah,
of ours.
Look it up your website.
Local ops. He worked on the PHP news code, and it came out really nice. So, yeah, big shout to him. He's been a big help. And also, again, to Sub-Zero, because he designed the Doug Show logo. With the microphone and everything, the loop.
Awesome.
And all. So, yeah, he's a good talent there. You got any shouts?
Yeah, shouts to Natus. Shouts to Droops. Shouts to Ice Knife. Those were all people that were staying in my room with me at ShmooCon.
Right. Anyone else in the DDP was at ShmooCon?
No, I think that was the only DDP-related people that were...
Not there, didn't show, or...
No, not there, he didn't show.
And Sting Dog didn't go, right? Yeah, he didn't go.
No, he didn't go.
Huh.
But I did have a fun time hanging out with them. Shouts to Lance James. It was definitely cool meeting him. That we were speaking together, but that was the first time I'd actually met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd since he lives in California and we've met in person in D.C. But, yeah. He was a very cool person. He was sitting there playing the piano, and then, like, the maids were watching him, and he didn't know. It was pretty funny.
That's funny.
So shouts to him. Shouts to everyone at ShmooCon. It was, everyone who went. It was a great con. It was definitely,
It seems like real fun. I'd go next year. If there's one next year, I'll definitely go.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Definitely.
Worth the money. Is that it?
Those are all my shouts. What about you?
I gave out my shouts, Lucky. You see, here's the thing. Me and Lucky clown around too much, and I think it was a bad idea for me to choose Lucky as my co-host right here in the same room with me when he's over there dancing to music and eating Cheez-Its.
Dancing to music, dude? What are you talking
eating
about?
Eating Cheez-Its and everything. Because me and Lucky, what makes us hard is that we're trying to act serious, but we're just failing at it. Anyways, hopefully me and Lucky did a good job. We didn't bore anyone because... Seriously, thanks, Stank Dog, because it's a really big deal, and even an honor for him to trust me to do this show. That's a big deal, because Stank Dog's never
had... Especially when it's you and Mr. 225.
Especially when it's, yeah, us. Not just me, not just you, but us combined together. Yeah, this is... yeah, it's hard to do, but yeah, thanks a lot, Stank Dog, for letting me fill in and even let me choose Lucky.
Shouts to you,
shouts
Doug.
To you.
Yeah, thanks for... giving me a nice wild cherry Pepsi while I was sitting here in the studio doing the show.
Not a problem.
We got some cheese
up here. You're going to be here every Thursday for our show, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Thursday afternoons, all right? That's going to be when our show...
This is a very cool, chill, new studio.
It is. You know, we got the drum set. Hopefully we'll have, like, an actual, like, Doug Show band and everything. I think it'll be a fun show to do because it'll be a lot more relaxed because this show's a real professional. This is a good show, man. This is, like, hard to do. I can't believe Stank Dog does this every week with the show notes and everything. So, yeah, he's a busy man. I don't know how he can handle this. But hopefully I'll be here again next week continuing to fill in for him.
But hopefully not.
Hopefully not. But maybe I will, maybe not. Maybe Stank Dog will listen to this and be like, what the hell did I do? Again, send all email to radio@binrev.com.
I guess that's it for BinRev.
Yeah, maybe I'll see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.